who's Rose Breed's Stone Fruit Breeding team leader and is a peach breeder at Clemson University, and that'll do.
Thank you, Cameron. So, timing of my talk is actually perfect because many things were covered in previous talks, and you'll see what's possible when you start a program from ground zero and you get hit with a lucky break of Rose Breed being funded. So the outline of my talk would be brief history of peach breeding program, and you'll understand why I needed to do that. Then the selection, phenotypic or marker assisted, and the foundation for future that the Rose Breed has built. So, brief history. Clemson University, for those that don't know, is in South Carolina. South Carolina is the second in the nation with the fresh market production of peaches. And so, establishing a breeding program was very important for our growers to deal with the issues that we have, and we have many of them. We have about 80 million annually income from the peach industry and over 17,000 acres under peach production. So in 2008, I was hired at Clemson University to start a breeding program that was dormant for 25 years. That meant there were no hybrids to evaluate from previous breeder, nothing to continue, just to start from scratch. I was lucky that there was a great team of people that worked on peach, just on other aspects, and they amassed a great material that I could use as a starting point. But a lot to be known about what traits to breed for. Growers said they want high quality and they want disease resistance, exactly what 5 years down the road Rose Breed was assembled to do. Experience I brought, I had experience with the conventional breeding for apple and peach and molecular resource development, but to start from nothing was really a daunting task. The lucky break I got is the Rose Breed was funded in 2009, and I got all the brain power combined from the U.S. and abroad in doing what I actually was set up to do. So that was really good. So that was the lucky break number one. And you'll see these sequentially going through the presentation, how the impact of the Rose Breed was in my program particularly, but probably many others. So this is the peach breeding program timeline. In 2008, when I was hired, that's the first crosses when we did. The crosses I made was basically, again, using a great brain power of the colleagues that were so happy that Clemson established the breeding program, so they gave me a good pointers, which would be the best parents to use for the disease resistance. One of those is sitting in the first row, John Clark, and the others. And so I started just by crossing some cultivars that were already released and in the production, so we knew the phenotypes and we knew the quality and the performance. Right now where I am is in the 10 to 15 time period with the replicated trials. In this years, this is how many crosses I made, seedlings planted, evaluated, how many trees went into the seedling trial stage, and how many are now in advanced stage that we are looking at them more thoroughly. All of these crosses in the first 4 years, I would say until 2011, were done by phenotypic data knowledge. Very little about the genotypes. And then now we have 10 selections in three replicated locations to look at their performance under the grower standard. So very slow process comparing to Louise and Strawberry that they could just ramp them up and do it much quickly. So how did I do the selection? I already mentioned something with phenotyping in the field and eating through the 10,000 or 20,000 peaches, which didn't do in a few days after high season, you get tired of eating so many peaches. The focus from the beginning of the program were bacterial spot resistance and the brown rot resistance, which later on became the key traits that we were looking to try to find the genetics for and design the markers to speed up the selection in the rose breed. We also did the lab evaluation of the fruit quality, and so that was the lucky break number two, because within the rose breed we established the standardized phenotyping protocols. So when you start the breeding program from zero, you need to know how to evaluate your material so it fits within the, all of these programs that are running for 50, 60, or 110 years, as Jim said. And so that helped me a lot, so all of my evaluations could be used to compare back or forward to the material that was released in or evaluated in another programs. Of course, that was the goal, and that was the idea, to convert all of those, to have the markers so I can actually know more about the material before I wait 3 to 4 years to see the fruit. So that within the rose breed, we already had some mentioning about the arrays and the tools developed. We developed the 9K SNP array for peach, which was used to genotype the material that we already phenotyped and to find the QTLs and design the DNA tests. Recently, we updated that array with adding 9,000 more markers that would now be targeting the traits and loci in the genome that we, in the meantime, find out are important for our traits. And so we are heavily using it in the rose breed, and we'll continue using it. That's the third lucky break, because now I had the phenotype protocol, I have the genotypic data, and I can mix them together, and I can get to the knowledge about the QTLs and develop the markers. You can see more in detail here, it actually at the fruit breeding session on Tuesday. Zina is going to give a talk about the detection of the QTLs. And on poster 242, you can find more information about the performance of the new array for peach. So marker-assisted is the next step to doing the phenotyping. This is one of the examples how we do it in my program, starting from 2015, when we finally had a DNA test developed. So it took some time, you know, to do the phenotyping, genotyping, find the QTL, develop the marker, validate it, and finally use it. So I trust it, and I'm willing to kill my babies in the greenhouse based just on the DNA test, because that's all I knew about at the time, and my major break it or make it was the resistance for bacterial spot in fruit. And this is the test that provided that information. It doesn't matter. So at that time, we had 5,600 seedlings, and what is important to mention is that the crosses were made with the DNA information on the parents. So I knew what I'm crossing and what the parents can bring me regarding the bacterial spot fruit resistance. And I knew which crosses could give me the homozygous resistance. So there was one cross which was between the homozygous resistant and homozygous susceptible. So I basically did not use the marker-assisted selection because everything is heterozygous, so there was no point. All of the, because there were 10,000 seedlings, and that cross was fairly big. So 5,600 hybrids from 11 crosses in the 2015 went through the analysis. This was the SSR marker test, and we culled 3,600 and planted 2,000. These 2,000 fruited this year first time, because last year we got an issue with the weather. And there are already 10 or 15 up to now selections that we flag to moving into advanced level with excellent fruit quality. So I'm not worrying about the disease resistance because I know they have it, and now it's just looking at the fruit quality in them. So this is how they look. Going back to the John, that's serendipity, because at the time, those crosses were made based on the phenotypic data knowledge, with some pollen from Arkansas breeding program, for which we knew that they have the bacterial spot resistance because the environment is forcing them to do the selection in a favorable way. And I used the pollen, I made the crosses, but until we got the markers, I couldn't confirm because my environment where my farm is does not suit bacterial spot development. So I cannot say if they're resistant or susceptible by looking at the fruit in the field. But markers confirmed it, and now we returned the advanced selection into Arkansas, into the really inhospitable environment for or maybe favorable environment for bacterial spot. And Margaret, which is now the new breeder for the peach in the Arkansas, is confirming that they're doing really well, that there is really little or no incident or bacterial spot on the fruit. So brown rot is another one, and that one is a tough cookie because the phenotyping showed that we do have a variation in the material. The source of resistance comes from the rendrace, so the fruit quality is really not good. And you can see that particularly in the second row, middle picture, that resembles mostly pollen donor, which is the low blush, small fruit, non-melting peach. And we want to increase it to look like this. So it took some time, but we already have some good combinations of the high blush and the large fruit and freestone and melting. In the corner is the Van Fang Fu, my master student, now going to the PhD, and this was part of her master thesis. So she was looking at the gene involved in the brown rot resistance and found that they're all over the genome, which means we're going to go to the genomic predictions, and that's what we are testing right now in the program. So in 2010, when I was looking and waiting for the first fruit of the crosses in 2008, this is what I was hoping to have, and now I have that. So that's all thanks to the combining power of rose breed 1 and 2. This is now a selection from 2014 cross that has brown rot tolerance, and you see how much improved is the looks of that. And these are the hybrids on their own route, really low maintenance. And on the right side is the 2015 that's bacterial spot resistant. So foundation for the future that Rosebreed built. What we are doing now, we are equipped to actually go and look into regions that are covered with the traits of importance. And we know the QTLs for them detected by us within the Rosebreed or colleagues from the international community. So we are trying to pinpoint the haplotypes and haploblocks and see what the variation we have. Are we stuck somewhere so we have to go out into the exotic material, or we can do some recombinations to make changes? What we are trying to do, we are trying to convert the SSR type of test into the SNP-based tests. And I'm so lucky, I think, in my life that the Strawberry Breeding Program developed the extraction protocol for DNA, which is really crude, really cheap, 10 cents per plant, and it works with peach, and it works with the SNP-based assay, which, great, that allowed me to buy the equipment to have in my lab based on the Rosebreed funds, so I can actually do the SNP detection in my lab with my seedlings. And so that's the lucky break number 4. And poster number 3 will tell you about the bacterial spot test converted to the SNP test. Posters 240 and 243 about the genome-wide association studies that we are doing to detect the tests for the post-harvest and for the fruit quality markers, and of course about genomic prediction that we are using. And the poster 255 is the stems poster, which is the overall production of the rosebreed and successes that we had with releasing or designing and validating DNA tests that are now fully employed in the breeding programs. And of course, I was asked, okay, what now? Rosebreed is ending. I don't think it's ending. It's just endless, because what the foundation was built basically will live forever because we are equipped with the tools and the knowledge on how to convert the new traits that we find or QTLs into the actual DNA test that we can use in the programs. And so these are the standard two tests. So thank you. I didn't leave much time.
Okay.